We continue in our study of the Word of God in the Gospel according to Luke. And those that are here on a regular basis realize with God's perfect timing, we are in the text dealing with the birth. And now we are in chapter 2, verses 15 through 20 this morning. And so I would like to read that. When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then, and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all that heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father and God, we thank you so much for the time that we've been worshiping together already. In every aspect, in our thoughts, in our prayers, in our singing, in our giving, in our reflecting on the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did in communion. And Father, right now, what a privilege it is to open the Word of God, to go through the Word of God expositionally, verse by verse, to get instruction from you. We thank you for this opportunity, and we pray, Father, that as we study the Word of God, we not only would learn it, but Father, that we would be doers of the Word, that we would apply it in our lives and live for the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for the Word of God to go forth in power, to penetrate and meet the very needs of the hearts of each one of us that are here. We commit this study and we thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. I might mention that tonight, by the way, normally in the evening services, I am going through the process right now of teaching and instructing on counseling, biblical counseling. But tonight, as you'll notice in the bulletin, we're going to enter into the new year with the time of praise and prayer this evening, so you'll be seeing more of that. We encourage you to come on out. We'll have some instruction on praise, but there'll also be an opportunity to just praise God for what he's doing in your lives as well. And we will be praying as a church as we move into the new year. Well, I've entitled this morning's message, "The Confirmation of the Good News," and that is in light of what we have been studying together. I will say this, I think it's a great passage, this brief passage, and a great lesson for a new year, very appropriately. Now, I want you to know that I am not a person that makes New Year's resolutions. One of the reasons I don't do that is because I never keep them. So if I make them, I know I'm not going to keep them. But this particular passage, I do think, gives us encouragement and gives us a challenge that is before us. And I want to challenge everyone in this room right now, well, that is listening to this, by way of one of two questions. First of all, there may be here today those that have heard others talk to them about the gospel. Or even sitting here, you've heard the gospel message over and over again. And I would challenge you with this question. Do you check it out? Do you just listen to it and go your way? Do you just shun it? Or do you listen to it and check it out to see if it's so? Then the second question I have is for those who have trusted in Christ and just have partaken. And listen carefully. You say you're a believer. You say you trusted in Christ. And if anything, this church is known for being solid in doctrine. But I have a simple question for you. Are you making it known to anyone? Are you making known the gospel of Jesus Christ to anyone? Who are you talking to about the gospel? As we come to chapter 2, or entered in, let me just remind you, because we've had a slight break last week here, and thank the Lord for Camille preaching last week. But as we entered into chapter 2, we saw the arrival of God's long-anticipated gift, verses 1 through 7 of the chapter. We saw that the Lord Jesus Christ came in, and the promised Redeemer, the promised Savior, the promised King of Kings came into the world. And he was birthed in the right place at the right time, with the government being used by God in very practical circumstances to get him and his parents, I should say, where they should be so that Mary would have the birth in the right place. Then very recently in chapter 2, verses 8 all the way through 14, we basically saw there the announcement, the long-awaited announcement that he's here. The angels brought this message to the shepherds. We noted that they were ordinary people. He didn't bring it to the Pharisees and Sadducees. He brought it to the everyday, ordinary people who basically were even looked down on. Shepherds were looked down on. They were considered sinners, which they were. And under ordinary circumstances, he brought to them in the announcement, you remember, good news. He says, behold, I bring you good news. And who doesn't need that as we go into a new year? I bring you good news. There was tremendous news to be brought to the shepherds. And what it was, if you simply look at the end of verse 11 for a moment, it says, for today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And it was a tremendous message for them to receive. But how did they react to that? Did they just take in that information about this good news? Well, as we move into verses 15 to 20, we see the confirmation of that good news, how they reacted to the news that they got. When we get news, think about it. No matter what type of news it is, all too often for us in this life, the news that we get is bad news. It's not good news. Everything's going wrong. Somebody's killing somebody. Someone's blowing up a building. Something's happened. Politicians are all fighting. We don't know what's going on. People are losing this. They're losing that. Our health is going bad. All kinds of news comes our way. And oftentimes that results in panic or excitement, disbelief, and all kinds of things. But even with that type of news, all too often people react and start telling people about this news when they've never even taken the time to check it out and see if it's true, or examined it and confirmed it. And that is the best thing to do, whether it be bad news or good news. It is to take the news in, first of all, and receive it and hear it, but then to check it out, to confirm it, to see if it's so. And then you can act properly and accordingly. When it comes to the gospel, I've seen that over and over again. That oftentimes when the gospel is presented, when good news is presented, there's even a situation of disbelief where they don't want to hear it. And part of the reason people don't want to hear it is because usually of their traditions. As you know, I've been involved in 3 funerals in about a week and a half. And in every one of those situations, God has given me opportunity to follow up with people. In one of them in particular, Millie's funeral that was here, and just so happens, by the way, someone left a program from Millie's here. I ended up having an opportunity after the presentation here to go and speak with a woman for about an hour and a half, maybe even a little bit longer. And question after question came up, and there were things that we were talking about. And one of the problems were, and I kept going back to things with her, was to go into the Bible, and I encourage her, and well, that's your Bible. You take your Bible, but check it out. She was bothered by tradition. She was bothered. That was several times that she answered. I've been brought up this way. I've been taught this way. I want you to check it out for yourself. When it comes to news, we need to do that. We need to be really willing to receive it, but we need to check it out. And that's what we find in this text. These shepherds checked it out. They heard the good news, and it was very significant news, and they believed what they heard, but they wanted to be sure that it was the right thing. Just like with the reading that I did earlier this morning. If you remember carefully in that text, in the book of Acts, There were people that heard the message and they believed, and there were some, particularly Jewish leaders, that wanted nothing to do with it, and they wouldn't check out the information. But by the time they get to Berea, what did he find out? When Paul and Silas got to Berea, they heard the information, and then they checked it out daily to see if these things were so. And I would say that that's what you need to do, and we'll see that in this text. In verses 15 and 16, we have the assessment that takes place. A significant event had taken place. An angel had appeared, okay, and he had given them tremendous news, not just news, but tremendous news that had eternal significance. It had eternal consequences. It would affect them for all their life. It was that a Savior had been born. I just read that. That the Christ was here. The Lord of Lords was here. And he also gave them evidence, by the way, if you remember, because in verse 12 he says, look, the babe is also going to be lying in a manger. That was the sign. Because babies are born all the time. How am I going to know which baby is the right baby? This one you will find in a trough, the place where animals eat their food. This will be a unique situation for you to find. They had also witnessed in verse 14 a glorious heavenly celebration about this news. So they had the details, but what happened? I want you to notice that they went and they checked it out. Because in verse 15 it says, when the angels had gone away, we don't know how long they were there, but they've gone away now. They've gone back into heaven. And that's very interesting, because those of you who have been with me in the study of this book, don't overlook that. Dr. Luke, who is being used by God to write this book, said he is going to detail everything for us. He didn't say they vanished away. Because the same person is going to talk in the book of Acts about the Lord, and he's going to watch him ascend into heaven as the apostles watch him ascend into heaven. He sees the angels and he gives that detail. These angels went back to heaven. And he details that. And then what did the shepherds do? They began saying to one another, I don't believe it. I don't think it's so. I'm not sure. The Pharisees don't believe it. The Sadducees don't believe it. That's not what they said at all. They weren't so gullible as to say, well, we're excited about it, and we just should take it and never check anything out. No. They turned around and said, let's go straight to Bethlehem then. And how did they know Bethlehem? Well, they were just told it's in the city of David. They knew where it was. Let's go find out. They said it should be in David. And let's see this thing that has happened, and I want you to notice this, which the Lord has made known to us. You see that? They even caught that part of it. It was obvious that they knew the scriptures. These were shepherds, just ordinary people, but they knew the scriptures. They were anticipating this day to come. They didn't ignore it. And I come back to, if you've heard the gospel before and you haven't believed it, don't just ignore it. Don't just push it off, because today could be your last day on the face of this earth. And today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. But they began discussing it. We have this information. It's in Bethlehem. It's about a child, and he's supposed to be the Messiah. Let's go check the things out. The Lord's revealed this to us. They recognized that the information came from God. This was different. And they wanted to check it out. Many don't believe. They won't even receive the information. For example, turn with me to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And I don't want you to be surprised when you run into this. I'll go back to verse 15 for a moment. It says, how will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. That's what we have. Of good tidings, and it is the same good news that we have in our context. But watch verses 16 and 17. However, they did not all heed the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? And then it says, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Some translations, the word of God. How does hearing come? It has to be given. The word of God has to be given out. But not everybody receives it, so don't give up just because you happen to give the gospel to somebody and they don't believe. On the other hand, don't be someone who's heard the good news and you don't want anything to do with it. Check it out. In this particular case, you got ordinary people that knew something about the scriptures, about a coming Messiah. It's announced to them now. He's there. He's in Bethlehem. And they're going to check it out. How different it was for the leadership. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. Now, I'm talking about the good news, and I'm talking about salvation, which has eternal significance. But I also want to say this to you as a congregation, and you know I say this continually. You need to check everything out according to the scriptures. Never take what Pastor Dan says that is the end of it. You check it out. Never take something that you hear from a guy on the radio or a tape or a disc. Check it out. Where? With the Word of God. And in Matthew chapter 2, isn't this interesting? In verse, you remember what happened here, the wise men come, they want to worship, they come, and Herod's all upset. His title, by the way, was King of the Jews, and now they get wise men come and say, where's he born King of the Jews? What? And now what does he do? It's interesting. Look at verses 4 forward. Gathering together all the chief priests, scribes of the people, these are the people that should know, he inquired of them, where the Messiah, look at this, where's the Messiah going to be born? Now, do they have the scriptures? Look at verse 5. They said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For this is what has been written by the prophets. And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah. And out of you shall come forth a ruler who will be shepherd of my people Israel. Did the rulers know where this was going to take place? The answer is yes. Let me ask you a question. Did the rulers go to Bethlehem to check it out? They didn't. These are the people that are supposed to be teaching. They didn't check it out. Ordinary people, the shepherds, checked it out. I've got to go, and I've got to see for myself. I want to see. Don't be a person that hears something and maybe even knows the right answer, but doesn't check it out and it hasn't become part of your life. They didn't delay. We go back to our text. They were excited, and so they came in a hurry. They came with haste, it might say in your translation. So they came in a hurry, and they found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby. And you notice exactly as it was said, they knew the sign, just as God said. They got the right one. Why? Because he's lying in a manger. He's in the trough. He's in the city of Bethlehem. And he's right where he's supposed to be. And Mary and Joseph is there. And they come just as God said they would find him. They find him. And what happens? They not only had heard the message, they began to check it out. And now they receive it for themselves. And what happens? They respond. How do they respond? Well, they respond very strongly. How? They believed it. They believed it. How do we know that? First of all, that must have been an unbelievable discussion. Why? Because if you look down at verse 19, when Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart, she treasured all that they were saying, and I'm sure everything's going on, and they're discussing this. But they believed it, and their faith took action. Where do we see that? We see it in verse 16 and 17. Not only did they hurry to the manger, but now in verse 17, watch this. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. Did they believe it? Absolutely. They followed, they absorbed it, they went and checked it out, and when they saw that it was true, they placed their faith in it, and then they made it known. That is faith in action. They simply told others what they knew. Now, it's very important to understand this. What did they do? Individually, they became the first evangelists. They didn't try to persuade people. I want you to notice that. They didn't. They didn't try to persuade people about things. They didn't call for some special meetings. They didn't call for, let's give out candy bars and get 500 people to an assembly so we can give them the gospel. You say, why did Pastor Dan bring that up? No gimmicks. No fooling around. They simply went and gave the message that was given to them. They told the message. What was the message? I want you to look closely. It says this, when they had seen this, they made known what? What does it say? The statement. What statement? What statement? Verse 11. What's verse 11? That was the statement they heard. What is born today is the Savior. The Savior, yes, who is Christ the Lord. What did they make known? There's been a baby born, and he is the Savior of the world. There's been a baby born. He's the anointed one of God. The Messiah is here. What did they make known? He's Lord of all. And individually, today there is very little emphasis on individual evangelism. You know who's supposed to be giving out the gospel, folks? You, Pastor Dan. Yes, and you. You're the ones that's supposed to be giving it out. You're supposed to be taking that good news and giving it out to your neighbors, to your families, to people. And what am I going to tell them, Pastor Dan? Become an evangelist in the sense of that. We have so much emphasis today in the Church of Jesus Christ on evangelistic meetings. Let's have these big meetings where we get people together on a Saturday night and we have these special functions and we do all this and we'll get them in. Maybe we can get them saved because a good message is going to be preached. Now, there's nothing wrong with having gatherings and a strong message. There's nothing wrong with a Christmas program and having a strong message. But so many gimmicks are put rather than the individual just going and giving out the message of the good news. And so many believers who say they belong to the Lord Jesus Christ aren't telling anybody about the gospel. Listen carefully. What are we supposed to be doing? Telling what we know. What? Jesus is the Christ. He's the Son of God. He's the Messiah. And he's the Savior of the world. Very little talk about sin today. Very little talk about the need for a Savior. Very little talk about the name of Jesus Christ. And listen, even among believers. Now let me repeat a statement I already made. This church, and I personally, and I can stand here confidently in front of you and say this, am very concerned about doctrine. And we teach doctrine here. We stand for the truth of God. We will check it out with the Word of God and stand for it. But do you know there are too many Christians that are spending all their time debating doctrine and they're not telling anybody about the Christ? There's a place for a conversation about dispensationalism. There's a place for a discussion about Reformed theology. There's a place for discussion about anything that you want to talk about in the area of separation, or you want to talk about walking in the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. There's a place for that. But are you telling others about the simple truth of the gospel? So many that are arguing about these points aren't even telling anybody about the Savior. And if they were put on the spot when the last time was they shared the gospel, you'd find out with some of them it's been years. They're not even sharing the good news of Christ. These shepherds were so excited, they got the news that the Messiah was here. And if you look at a new believer, what do you see? Excitement about telling others, I got saved, and going out and giving the gospel. And time goes by, and what happens? All of a sudden, the good news is in a fog. And so many people aren't even hearing the truth anymore. And we're so interested about raising hands and bowing and saying this prayer and saying that prayer, and the true gospel isn't even getting out. And we've got a lot of professing Christians today that, sad to say, one day are going to stand before the Lord in Matthew chapter 7, and the Lord's going to say, I never knew you. You're not a believer. You just tagged my name onto your life. What you had here was shepherds that were excited. I think that's a good incentive for a new year. Excited to tell. What did they make known? Very simple message. Jesus is the Christ. Have we lost sometimes our zeal about just telling other people? Do you know how many people don't know that Jesus Christ is the Messiah? That's what they need to hear. Do you know how many people don't know that they're a sinner or don't believe it? They need to hear they're sinners and need a Savior, and He's the one. And that's going to come from us individually. Oh, you can rely on the fact that Pastor Dan's going to give the gospel. I'm giving it to you right now. But you and I need to be doing it on a regular basis. When you get together with believers, have your discussion. How many people have come into this church visiting, unsaved, and come in and even gone into that room where we're having coffee and no one has even talked about the gospel to them? Some of the first questions might be about theology. Really? Have we lost it? And again, I say, we stand for doctrine. We will teach doctrine. But these people just told that there was a Savior, the Christ. We need to get back to that. You've heard me say it. Some of you have not. But I remember when I got saved, I drove around, I had to tell my family, and I didn't know anything about theology. But what I knew is I wasn't saved. Now I was, and I knew Christ had done it, and that's all I could tell them, and I told them. And you can be doing the same thing. You say, but it's theology. They'll get there, just like you did, just like I did. But these shepherds were excited, and I'm saying that because the Pharisees and Sadducees, they knew where the child was born, and they were too busy with their theology, and they weren't even bringing the message or checking it out for themselves. What happened when they gave them the simple message? Look at verse 18. All who heard it wondered. They were in amazement. When God is working, people will be in amazement. Luke uses this over and over. Let me just give you a couple of quick verses right here. Go to verse 63. Chapter 1, verse 63. Here. What chapter, Pastor Dan? Well, I'll tell you that later. No, I'm only kidding. Chapter 1, verse 63. Okay? Remember what happened? God was working in this situation, and Zechariah says, John is his name. What happened to the people? They were astonished. What was going on? God was working in that situation. In this particular situation, the shepherds bring a message, and they say, I want to tell you something simple. There's a baby that's been born. He's the Christ. He's the Messiah. What's the result? People wondered. They were astonished. Chapter 2, verse 33. Look there very quickly. Just a couple of more. In verse 33, it says, and his father and mother were amazed at the things that were being said about him. What is it? He's a light to the a light of revelation to the Gentiles. The glory of your people Israel, from verse 32. God was working the simple message, and what happens? They are being astonished. Chapter 4, one more. Chapter 4, verse 22. Same book? Same book. And by the way, it's the same Greek word over and over. When the day came, Jesus left and went to a secluded place, and the crowd was searching for him and came to him and tried to keep on going away from him. That's not the verse I'm in 42. You're saying, Pastor Dan, you're reading a different Bible. Yeah, I was in the wrong place. Sorry. Verse 22 is what I wanted, right? And all were speaking well of him and wondering. They were amazed at the gracious words. What was happening? God was working. And I'm going to tell you something. That's what happens. Isn't it a joy to see someone come to salvation? Isn't it a joy to see somebody baptized? Isn't it a joy to have answers to prayer in people's lives, in your own life? Isn't it a joy to see God working? Wasn't it absolutely amazing, even financially here, when the sprinkler system, we didn't know how we were going to handle it. The system was old, breaking down. The things are ready to go all over the place. We just make it known, and God raises the funds. That's God working. Isn't it amazing to look at an audience like this and see you excited about the Lord and sharing the things of God? Absolutely. That's what's exciting. And when people see that in us, they will be amazed at what God is doing. And here you have simple shepherds. And I told you last week, as we studied, or 2 weeks ago, as we studied the shepherds, they were considered uneducated people. And they are simply coming with a message that was given to them that Christ is the Savior, and that's the message they give. And I want to tell us that if we go into 2016 individually and collectively as a church and concentrate on giving out the message of the gospel, you will see people get saved. You will see your relatives get saved. You will see them get caught in amazement. Oh, some of them it may take all year. Some of them it may not be for another 10 years. But the curiosity and God planting the seed is going to go there. And I will assure you of this, because that is the purpose of the local assembly. We will continue to study doctrine, because I will continue to expound the word of God, and we will leave no stone uncovered. But let's not lose the glory and the joy of the gospel in telling others that. And the next time you get involved in a theological discussion, ask yourself this: for every theological discussion that I've had, have I also taken the time to simply tell people theologically who the Christ is? And if you haven't, ask the Lord to open up an opportunity where you can just share the good news. You know what? You will get excited when you see what God begins to do. I'll share something personally with you, and it's a dangerous thing to have it on tape, so I won't tell you specifically, but I will tell you this. I started making my prayer about a month ago, specifically for family members, that I would have opportunities to just get back to the gospel. And I will tell you this, within the last month, I have had two different discussions with unsaved family members for over 2 hours at a time, just talking about the gospel. And they have asked the questions and questions and questions, and it got me more excited about evangelism than anything else. Why? Because I simply got back to the general point. There's so many that don't know. My challenge is simply tell them what they know. Tell them what you know. So what do you see? Number one, they went and checked it out. Let's do that ourselves. As believers, check out what the Word of God says, and let's get out and do what we're supposed to be doing. They checked it out. They saw it was true. If you've trusted in Christ, you've found out that He is the Messiah. Start telling others. Start getting excited, because others will believe the statement as well. And you notice that's what it says in verse 17. They made known, and all who heard wondered at these things that were told by the shepherds. And what happened? Some of them came to believe, some of them resisted. And if you're still an unbeliever, check it out. In Mary's case, she pondered it. I cannot imagine what went through Mary's heart to have an announcement that as a virgin, you're going to give a child, bring a child in, it's going to be the Messiah. Then to watch the things that happened between her and her cousin Elizabeth. And now shepherds come out of a field and they talk about the Christ and they see God working in excitement. And she's going to continue to ponder and meditate, what is my child? What is going on? Even though she understands it. Hard to imagine. And then the shepherds went back, and what did they do? They glorified and praised God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. And that's what will happen when you check it out. When I got saved, most of you know my testimony, I was in the business world. And I had someone witnessing to me, and he asked me the question, if I died that particular night, do I know that I would be going to heaven? And I just got sick and tired of listening to him, so I said, yes. That's a true story. And so he just went his way, but I couldn't sleep because I knew I lied to him. I didn't know. I didn't think anybody could know. But my wife will still remember the day clearly. I was studying for final exams as I was trying to advance in my career and whatever, taking some additional courses. And I was in the library. We had spreadsheets all over the place, and I just packed them up. The same guy who witnessed to me was there. He said, what are you doing? Packed it up, and I went and bought myself two Bibles. Why? I figured I'd be safe. One was this big, and the other one was this big, and one of them had to be good. That's a true story. So anyway, I started, what did I do? I checked it out for myself. And when I started reading for myself and when I started seeing for myself, and I just shared this with my relatives recently, I said it wasn't, with all the upbringing I had, I believed that Jesus had come. I believed that he had been born in Bethlehem. I believed that he had died on a cross. I believed that he had resurrected from the dead, and I wasn't saved. It was just a general belief. But I came to it personally when I got into the book and I started reading for myself and I saw the glorious news that he's the Savior and he died for your sins and by faith, your faith in him alone. And I saw it for myself. Check it out. And you'll come to the same conclusion. God will open up your understanding. Check it out if you have any doubts whatsoever. And fellow believer, check out everything that's said. But let's get back. And then as we check it out and we see what God has us to do, we should be glorifying and praising God. Too many Christians, and I put myself there embarrassingly so, too many of us aren't praising God and glorifying God enough for the things that he's doing. We're so caught up in the world. These shepherds were so excited. We ought to be going to the mountains and telling it on the hilltops. We ought to be rejoicing. And it was part of my study in this that drove me away from the counseling for tonight, because they went away praising God. And you know what? As we go into a new year, yeah, we do a Thanksgiving, but I think we ought to come out tonight and give God some praise for the things that he's doing. I think we ought to take a few moments as a church going into a new year and start praying for these ministries that we have going on. So those of you that can make it out tonight, come on out. Praise God. That's what we should be doing. Tell others. And while I said again, not to kind of make a pledge that you're going to do this and this, ask God to help each of us to be people who get back to the simplicity of sharing the good news. You know what? Jesus has come. Others don't know him. And let's start telling them about the gospel. And then you know what? Then bring them into the assembly, because in here they will get taught sound doctrine. And they will get taught how to live as a spouse, as a child, as a worker, with one another, how to confess sins, how to have forgiveness, how to function, how to love one another. We study those things. But you and I need to be the evangelists out there individually telling others the exciting news. If that happens in 2016, watch what God is going to do. These shepherds were excited, and I think we need to get stirred up a little bit more, especially if you've been saved a long time, to the simplicity of telling others that we know the Messiah has come and who he is. Let's close in prayer. Our Father in God, we thank you and praise you for the excitement of these shepherds. We thank you that they went and confirmed what you told them. But then, Father, as you get a hold of their hearts, they just couldn't hold back. They made that saying known, that Jesus has come, the Savior of the world has come. They made it known, the Messiah, he's Jesus Christ, that he's Lord. And they went and made it known abroad. Help us, Father, to be able to do that too. Father, we partook of communion today. Good reminder that we were nothing. We were lost, without life, without hope. We're in darkness. But because of the sacrifice of your Son on our behalf and our faith in that work, we look and know that now we've been forgiven. We have eternal life. We know the Messiah and that he's coming back again for us. Lord, stir up in our hearts a zeal to tell others. Help us not to look for someone else to do it. And Father, if we have trouble with that, I pray that you'd help us to examine our own hearts, to make sure our relationship is what it should be with you. And might this coming year be a year that our lives individually and collectively as a church is one that truly is for the glory of God. We pray that many would come to know Christ, and we pray that we would grow in difficulties and in good times, and that you'd get all the glory and honor. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.